welcome to the Provider Podcast. I'm Susan Ball. On today's episode, I'll be talking to NHS Provider's Chief Executive, Sir Julian Hartley, about his first year in this role. We'll be discussing the highs, the lows, the surprises, disappointments, and the delights. We'll be focusing on his transition from a Trust Chief Executive to CEO of a membership organisation. We'll be asking him what he's learned over the last 12 months, and importantly, what the future holds for NHS providers and the NHS in 2024. So Julian, you joined NHS Providers in February 2023, but let's start with your time as Chief Exec at Leeds Teaching Hospitals. What was your perception and experience of NHS Providers before you joined us?
Well, thanks, Susan. I knew about NHS Providers and had done for a long time, all the way back to its establishment as the Foundation Trust Network, and had always been a strong advocate because I think it's always had a distinctive voice for the provider sector. And I'd always found it to be an organisation with a lot of presence, with, you know, a powerful voice and influential, but also very useful, effective support in terms of materials and briefings and development programs, and obviously the excellent annual conference. So I was well disposed towards NHS Providers as a Trust CEO, and had been involved in a number of contributing to a number of sessions at conference, and indeed workshops, roundtables, and so on. So I did know quite a bit about NHS Providers, but obviously a very different proposition joining NHS Providers as being a member of it.
And so how's that perception changed since you joined us?
Well, the first thing I'd say, Susan, is that I've been deeply impressed with the depth of talent and just the level of insight, knowledge and understanding that colleagues in NHS Providers have about the sector. And also for me, just seeing how policy development operates, you know, and the political influencing behind the scenes that you don't always see as a member. And also the media side of things has been something of a revelation. I mean, I think day one, literally, in-depth interview with Rachel Sylvester at The Times that you set up, you know, that kind of opportunity access platform is really quite remarkable, but it's certainly something that I've had to consciously step up to and think about in terms of how I'm able to speak on behalf of the sector, provider colleagues, in the context of the scale of the challenges the NHS is facing. And certainly my motivation for wanting to do the job stemmed from that sense that we've got so many big challenges to confront as a service, that what our NHS trusts are doing is remarkable in the context of those pressures. And we need to be able to speak up and talk about the reality, but also talk about the great work our members are doing. And certainly that was my motivation and why I wanted to do it. So the way in which the NHS Providers, comms and media team are able to coordinate and access and kind of manage that opportunity to get that message out is really, really impressive.
So you've already mentioned how we threw you in at the deep end on day one with Rachel Sylvester. Have there been any other kind of really steep learning curves and highlights for you, or indeed any lowlights over the past year?
Well, I would say that appearing in front of the Health Select Committee to talk about industrial action was another kind of in at the deep end moment. But the briefing was excellent. You know, the team, the parliamentary team here at NHS Providers has real skill and understanding of parliamentary procedure. So I've learned a lot about how to handle those situations, dealing with parliamentarians, influencing the work of the Lords, getting influence in things like the minimum service level bill, you know, in terms of what we think about that. Obviously, it's been a year like no other, with the longest period of industrial action the NHS has ever had. So there's been plenty to talk about and say, And I do think that in a lot of those interviews, it's been important to get that message across.
What does a typical day look like for you as Chief Executive of NHS Providers?
I would say there is no typical day because they are all different. But I do spend quite a bit of time in London, at least 3 days a week in London generally. And that involves quite a few meetings with politicians, with regulators. So a lot of time with NHS England, CQC, getting across our members' issues and concerns. Time, obviously, in-house with the team, working through, you know, standard work for us. Every morning at 10 o'clock, we have the media meeting where we'll review the previous day. We'll look ahead to the day in hand in terms of the big key stories and agree how we're handling those. We obviously have quite a bit in terms of our own work with our own staff to develop them. Policy development time, as well as obviously our board meetings. But then I also spend a lot of time going out to visit trusts, making sure that I'm out visiting trusts both in the south and in the north, across the whole country, really, has been part and parcel of what I've wanted to bring to this job, to really connect with our members. So I do spend a lot of time out and about, as well as time in London. So it's quite a balance and it's very varied. And there are peaks and troughs in terms of activity, media-wise, policy-wise. And obviously our annual conference is a big moment, an awful lot of planning, brilliant teamwork and organisation goes into that. So it's a variety and quite a differentiated canvas, Susan. So the typical day doesn't exist, but those are the kinds of things that I'm spending time doing.
You mentioned the trust visit programme, which is obviously going from strength to strength. Like, how does it feel being on the other side of the fence?
Well, it's great, actually, because it gives me a chance to see the really great work our members are doing. And one of the things I've really appreciated is getting a much greater insight into mental health, community, ambulance. Now, I've worked in the NHS for well over 30 years, but much of that has been in the acute sector. So getting the chance to really understand and see firsthand the challenges that our colleagues in mental health, community, ambulance are facing has been great. And I always, wherever I go, always see leadership teams that are fully engaged, really understanding the challenges, and generally staff in those organisations who are motivated and determined to do the very best for patients.
So we've talked a lot about the internal role that you do, but obviously there's been a lot going on for the NHS, and the past year has been particularly challenging for members, given unprecedented operational workforce pressures, rising demand and industrial action adding to what the sector has been experiencing. The spotlight's also understandably been on NHS trusts because of Martha's Rule, the Lucy Letby conviction, worries about quality of care. How has that felt from members' perspective? Like, what have they told you about that?
So I think it's been a really tough year, Susan, for our members, and many of them will say that the job's never felt harder, that they can't remember a time when there's been greater operational challenge across the service. You've only got to look at the data, which tells its own story about the scale of the challenge. And then, of course, those high profile sentinel events that you described bring into sharp relief the importance and the centrality of patient safety and quality. And that really is the North Star for all of us. And that's certainly what members will talk about, how they are managing and the multiple priorities and the trade-offs in a constrained, financially challenged, operationally pressurized system where delivering safe and effective care for patients day in, day out is the top priority, but increasingly challenged in the context of industrial action and all of the issues that trusts are having to deal with. So I take my hat off to my colleagues who are doing these jobs in this current moment, because it is incredibly pressurized and difficult. But what I do see is that sort of resilience and resolve to really try and work through them, and indeed do that in a way that's collaborative with one another and in systems, which is quite different actually to a couple of decades ago when it was more of a model of competition and so on. So we are in a different era now, but there's no doubt the challenges have never been greater.
So you mentioned there the challenges and trade-offs that trust leaders are facing on a daily basis. And connected to that, you speak to senior decision makers in the NHS and across government all the time. If there was one thing you could make national policymakers understand, or one policy change you could ask them to introduce, what would it be?
It will be to work on a longer term timescale, Susan. I think part of the problem we've got is we're working to a reactive annual, and sometimes even the priorities change within the year. And that doesn't help with an approach that's based on dealing with the fundamental issues that underpin everything the NHS is trying to achieve, creating a positive improvement culture that does put patient safety and quality centre stage, and giving trusts and trust leaders the time and space to tackle those issues and tackle the fundamentals, focus on building teams, deep staff engagement, positive open cultures, and an improvement philosophy and method that can take us forward. I do think we need to have that kind of opportunity to have longer timelines to plan and work through, because the reactive approach is one that is wearing, fatiguing, and of course we need to work through the challenges of workforce and industrial action. That's a fundamental enabler to that.
So a real focus there on kind of ending short-termism and focusing on the longer term, bigger picture.
Absolutely.
Okay. And it doesn't look like 2024 is going to be any quieter for the NHS or NHS providers. As Chief Exec, what's on your agenda for NHS providers and for members for the next 12 months?
Well, of course, 2024 will be dominated, I'm sure, by the likely election. We don't know when that will be exactly. There's quite a bit of speculation. But what there's no doubt about is that the NHS is likely to be centre stage in terms of an issue that all of the parties will be focused on. And as we've learned, and indeed, as I experienced in my last job, the NHS is always at the centre of the election focus. And therefore, we need, and we are, developing our asks for all parties in relation to the NHS in terms of that focus on workforce, on investment, on capital, on that cross-government responsibility for health, and ensuring that we really do champion the idea of what works and what is working, because there's many things that are working really well that we want to highlight to politicians as they work up their manifesto. So it's a big year for the NHS, and indeed, let's hope that 2024 sees the back of all of the distress that industrial action has caused and sets the NHS on course for continuing to deliver on elective recovery and improving urgent care and improving mental health and community and ambulance, all the things we want to see. So I'm feeling positive, but there's no doubt it's going to be, I think, a turbulent year, and one where we can't relax. We've got to stay focused. We've got to keep supporting members, and we've got to keep championing the NHS.
Some interesting reflections there from NHS Providers Chief Executive Sir Julian Hartley. A reminder that you can join in the conversation and subscribe to the podcast by following us on X, formerly known as Twitter, and LinkedIn at NHS Providers with the hashtag The Provider Podcast. Thank you.